You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Matthew Leach and Paul Hagan.
Hi, and welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, along with Paul Hagan. We'll be joined in just a moment by MLB.com beat reporter Ian Brown. We're talking about the Boston Red Sox. It's been a tough year for the Red Sox, but it seems like there's some signs of life here. They had a nice little showing in Anaheim, and it kind of seems like the revamped young Red Sox are given some reasons to watch and some reasons for hope.
Yeah, when a team makes a lot of changes in a short period of time, sometimes it takes a little time for the dust to settle and the players to sort of come back together. And it seems like the Red Sox have done that in a pretty short period of time, which I guess shows some resiliency and gives some hope for the future.
Ian, when you look at this club, it seems like the first thing that jumps out is the rotation because of who they lost and because of who's kind of stepped in. When you see De La Rosa and then Webster turn in some nice games, how much optimism is there about these guys for the remainder of the year and going forward beyond that?
Yeah, I think this is a fun time to evaluate these guys because, look, it's not for the Red Sox, it's no longer trying to get into the playoffs for this year. It's trying to find out, you know, who you can go with for next season, who you can depend on. So you're getting a chance to evaluate all these guys each night. And De La Rosa has really been impressive, all year since they started using him in the rotation once Buchholz and Dubron were hurt earlier in the year. He's had maybe two bad outings this year where he didn't compete. Other than that, he's, you know, really been impressive to watch. But the other night, seeing Webster go out there and really put together, the best start of his major league career, That was pretty good. That was a good sign because he's a guy who he can get rattled when the game speeds up on him. He just completely lose command and doesn't take a deep breath to do whatever he needs to do. But the other night in Anaheim, he really slowed the game down. He kept them in the game. He pitched deep into the game, and this is a guy who throws 96 to 98. With good secondary stuff, so if he could ever command it, this is a guy who could be a pretty good pitcher. And that's, you know, what we're going to get. I think this is an invaluable experience for him getting to pitch every fifth day for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the last guy who would ever want to overreact to a month, never mind five or six innings. But, you know, Webster was a guy who was really considered a really premium prospect not that long ago. Is that kind of upside still there, or is it more hope you can get something, hope he's a piece, but maybe not still thinking of him as a real high-end elite guy anymore?
Yeah, no, I don't think they think of him as an elite guy, but I think the jury is still out on whether he could be a pretty good third or fourth starter, for a long time. Because, like I said, he does have, you know, when you have that 96 to 98 mile-an-hour fastball, you know, with the slider and some of the other stuff, he mixes in there. I think with Alan Webster, it's always been demeanor and confidence and the mental side of the game where he's been behind on. He's been ahead on the physical stuff, but he's a guy who doesn't carry, you know, a lot of confidence. And you see him even walking around the clubhouse. It's almost like he has that look on his face like, you know, do I belong here? So they really like to see him get some good outings under his belt because they just feel like he doesn't realize how good he is. So they'd like to see him put together some good outings so he could finally get it from a mental standpoint and just kind of carry himself like a major league pitcher.
Ian, General Manager Ben Cherington said recently that the Red Sox have 8 to 10 young pitchers in the organization that they really like. Who are some of the other guys that you could see making an impact here?
Yeah, Anthony Renato is a guy that, that they really like him. He's got really good stuff. He's got good poise. He's one of those guys. He is going to be strong on the mental side of the game. It's just a matter of, you know, whether he's going to be able to execute the pitches he needs to at the major league level. But he's a guy they're looking at. Matt Barnes has had kind of a disjointed year with some injuries. He's a pretty good guy to go forward with. Rodriguez, the guy they got in the trade with the Orioles for Andrew Miller. This is a guy who was a top pitching prospect not too long ago. So, you know, they're getting a chance to look at him at Pawtucket right now to see if he's a guy that can help them. Same thing with Escobar from the Giants. He's the guy they traded Jake Peavy for. So they got a lot of guys they want to get an eye on. They feel really good about their pitching depth, and I think what Cherington is quietly doing here is building enough pitching assets where he can trade some of these guys. You know, he's going to identify probably one or two of these young arms he could trade this winter to turn it into another piece, whether it's that bat you need, whether it's another arm for your bullpen. I think that the Red Sox have a lot of young pitching depth that, you know, a lot of teams around the majors wish they had right now.
Sort of a related question. There was a lot of speculation when John Lester was traded at the deadline that he might be signed back to the Red Sox. Do you think that's a realistic possibility, or do all these young arms make that less of a priority?
Yeah, I don't know if I would say realistic, but, you know, I think that has a real shot of happening because, look, John Lester really wants to pitch his career for the Boston Red Sox. I mean, he said that. I haven't heard too many guys be as honest about it as he has. And the Red Sox, you know, they need to pass up their pitching this winter. I mean, they made that clear when they traded Lester and Lackey that, hey, the reason we're trading Lester and Lackey right now is because we don't see much offense on the market as far as free agency this winter. So our best chance to bulk up the offense is to make some moves right now, turn some of our pitching assets into hitting, and then this winter there's going to be a lot of pitching on the market that we can invest in. And Lester is going to be one of those guys. And, you know, let's face it, they know John Lester better than anybody else, whether it's Max Scherzer or, you know, any other pitcher who's going to be on the market this winter. So, yeah, I think that they're going to get with John again and see if they can make some more progress. You know, the timing, for whatever reason, was just never right. They couldn't make the progress they needed to. I think a lot of it was John Lester didn't want to deal with that during the season when he was trying to focus on his starts. And I think if the Red Sox fell out of contention, they thought, hey, you know, it might make more sense to try to trade him now, turn him into something, you know, whether and it turned out to be Cespedes, and then maybe make a run on him in the offseason again. Then we have the best of both worlds. So, you know, if they could pull off that scenario, you know, it would be a brilliant maneuver by Cherry.
The other big offensive piece they brought in, of course, was Alan Craig. And Alan Craig got four plate appearances and then was on the DL. It's sort of an interesting sequence because I don't think it was a secret to anybody he'd been battling some stuff at some point this year. Do they view this as maybe part of what was going on with him this year and that maybe getting him off his feet and rested and recovered, maybe you see a different Craig for the rest of the year?
Yeah, Matthew, it's kind of a combination of things. You know, they're obviously, when you just acquire a player who's coming off a serious injury like he had, you know, you can look at all the medical stuff before you get him and all that, but you don't know this guy as well as you would, you know, a guy who's been on your team all year, but guy's been on there a couple of years. So they simply wanted to be very cautious and didn't want to risk him having any setbacks with that foot because it gave him such a problem last year and it really impacted his offseason. So they said, okay, let's put the brakes on right now. This kind of gives us time to catch our breath a little, get to know this guy a little bit, you know, before we have him taking five plate appearances every day on a foot that they're not, you know, 100% sure is sound. Well, what happened was they put him on the DL. He went and got a second opinion. The second opinion was exactly what they wanted to hear, where the doctors didn't see any recurrence of that injury he had last year. It was simply a case of, you know, Craig, you know, trying to reach first base, and he tweaked something in that foot. You know, maybe it had something to do with the foot still not as strong as it was because of what he went through last year, but it didn't suffer any kind of setback. So now, you know, they're hoping to be able to get a look at him the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season. And right now they think that Alan Craig might be able to come off the DL as soon as his 15 days expire. They'd love to get a look at him because they're really intrigued by what he can do. This is a guy who's been a really good hitter. Take away 3 months this season, and for whatever reason, you know, he didn't hit this year. This guy's been a really good hitter, and they think you put him in the American League, you put him in Fenway, and they think that he could be a real nice piece of their offense, not just next year, but, you know, for several years, the way his contract is structured, you know, at a pretty good, at a pretty cheap rate here if you can get some production out of him.
One of the other guys who's starting to get a look, and it seems like all we're talking about here is guys who are now getting a look after other people moved on, but I guess that's what we've got, is Christian Vasquez, and Quinn Roberts had a piece on him today, drawn some real raves for his defense. What's the upside for this guy as a big leaguer? Is this a guy whose offense-defense combination could be an all-star type player? Is his upside big league regular? What do you think this guy can turn into over the years?
Yeah, you know, at the very least, this guy is going to be a stud on defense. And, I mean, you don't see many 23-year-olds who can call a game like he does and have sort of the rapport with veteran pitchers that he does. You know, guys like Clay Buchholz and even John Lackey before he got traded kind of fell in love with this guy right away, right when they started throwing to him. Because like I said, you just don't see it very much with a young guy. And everyone knows about the arm. I mean, his arm and his release time is as good as there is in the game. So it's simply going to be a matter of, you know, what is this guy as a hitter? And then he's held his own in early at bats. He's been a 275, 280 guy. Hasn't shown the power yet, but I've seen the power with him, both in batting practice and in spring training. The guy can hit some bombs. So it's just a matter of, you know, what he's going to show against major league pitching. And you just don't know yet. But I think he could emerge into a borderline all-star someday if he becomes a good hitter. And you just don't know. But I certainly think that this guy could be a starting catcher in the major leagues for a long time. Just not quite sure yet if he's going to be a star, because I don't think any of us can say for certainty what he's going to be able to do with the bat in the hand. But defensively, much like Jackie Bradley Jr. in center field, no questions at all on his defense.
That's Ian Brown, Red Sox beat reporter for MLB.com. I'm Paul Hagen with Matthew Leach. Thanks for joining us on MLB.com Extras.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.